Today, in light of St. Patrick's Day, I'm going to do a bit of a tribute to St. Patrick and tell something of his story in his own words. Did you know that the man they call the patron saint of Ireland wasn't even Irish? Patrick gave a brief account of his life in his famous Confession of St. Patrick, which is not a confession as when a person acknowledges some guilt of wrongdoing, but as in a confession of faith. Early medieval tradition credits him as the founder of Christianity in Ireland, converting a society who practiced a form of Celtic polytheism. There were legends about Patrick. There was the legend of Patrick driving all the snakes out of Ireland. However, all evidence shows that Ireland never had snakes, so he had nothing to drive out. Then there's the legend of Patrick's walking stick growing into a tree. Once again, just a fanciful tale. Legend also tells of Patrick teaching the Irish about the doctrine of the Holy Trinity by showing people the shamrock, a three-leafed plant, using it to illustrate the Christian teaching of the three persons in one God, which is why the shamrock has since become a central symbol for St. Patrick's Day. This story is very likely to be true. Sad to say, though, the color green had nothing to do with St. Patrick, or even the Irish for that matter, until the Irish Rebellion against England in 1798. Before that, blue was the official color of Ireland. But the Irish rebels wanted a color for their uniforms that would most contrast the red coats of the English. Green it was. Ever since, green has become the color to represent everything Irish. But back to Patrick. He wrote the following declaration to people who had general knowledge of his life and achievements, so there are several things helpful to know before we read it. Because Patrick does not write his declaration in chronological order. He jumps back and forth in time and place. He was a teenager living near the coast of England when he was kidnapped by Irish pirates. They enslaved him, and for 6 years, it is believed that he served an Irish lord by the name of Miliach of Slemmick. Though he was from a Christian home and was taught the Christian faith, it was in captivity in Ireland where he remembered his mother's teachings to him, and he sought God for the first time. He became so devoted to the Lord that he received the nickname Holy Boy from the locals. Later he escaped and traveled back by ship to England, where he was reunited with his family. Some years later he received a call from God to return to Ireland, where he went against the advice of many, and where he is credited with bringing Christianity in the form of more than 300 churches and over 100,000 Irish baptized. The Church of England eventually recognized his calling and gifting, making him a bishop to serve the Irish people. This is from his account, which he wrote later in life from Ireland to the church in England, explaining his actions and motives, which some had questioned, and appealing that he be allowed to continue his work among the Irish people when some people were calling for his return. This I will deliver in Patrick's native British accent. My name is Patrick. I am a sinner, a simple country person, and the least of all believers. I was about 16 when I was taken prisoner. At that time, I did not know the true God. I was taken into captivity in Ireland, along with thousands of others. It was there that the Lord opened up my awareness of my lack of faith. So I turned with all my heart to the Lord my God, And he looked down on my lowliness and had mercy on my youthful ignorance. He protected me and consoled me as a father does for his son. That is why I cannot be silent, nor would it be good to do so about such great blessings and such a gift that the Lord so kindly bestowed in the land of my captivity. This is how we can repay such blessings when our lives change and we come to know God: to praise and bear witness to his great wonders before every nation under heaven. This is because there is no other God, nor will there ever be. God the Father is the one without a beginning, the one from whom all blessings come, the one who calls all things into being, and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom we testify has always been with him. Everything we can see and everything beyond our sight was made through him. He became a human being, and having overcome death, was welcomed to the heavens, to the Father. The Father gave him all power over every being, both heavenly and earthly and beneath the earth. Let every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, in whom we believe and whom we await to come back to us, is Lord and God. He is judge of the living and the dead, and he rewards every person according to their deeds. He has generously poured on us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is the gift and promise of immortality, and who makes believers to be children of God and co-heirs with Christ. This is the one we acknowledge and adore, one God in a trinity of the sacred name. Although I am imperfect in many ways, I want my brothers and relations to know what I'm really like, so that they can see what it is that inspires my life. This I know for certain. I was like a stone lying deep in the mud. Then he who is powerful came, and in his mercy pulled me out and lifted me up and placed me on the very top of the wall. That is why I must shout aloud in return to the Lord for such great good deeds as his, which the human mind cannot measure. So be amazed, all you people great and small who fear God. Even if I am most looked down upon, yet God inspired me before others, so that I would faithfully serve the nations with awe and reverence and without blame. The nations to whom the love of Christ brought me, his gift was that I would spend my life, if I were worthy of it, to serving the Irish in truth and with humility to the end. In the knowledge of this faith in the Trinity, and without letting the dangers prevent it, it was right to spread abroad the name of God faithfully and without fear, so that even after my death I may leave something of value to the many thousands of my brothers and sisters, the children whom I baptized in the Lord. I didn't deserve at all that the Lord would grant such great grace. After hardships and troubles, after captivity, and after so many years a slave among that people. After I arrived a captive in Ireland, I tended sheep every day, and I prayed frequently during the day. More and more the love of God increased in my heart and my sense of awe before God. Faith grew, and my spirit was moved. I sought God in the woods and on the mountain, and I would rise to pray before dawn, in snow and ice and rain. As I realize now, the Spirit was burning in me at that time. It was there one night in my sleep that I heard a voice saying to me, "Very soon you will return to your native country." Again, after a short while, I heard someone saying to me, "Behold, your ship is ready." It was not nearby, but a good 200 miles away. I'd never been to that place, nor did I know anyone there. So I ran away then and left the man whom I served for 6 years. It was in the strength of God that I went, God who turned the direction of my life to good. I feared nothing while I was on the journey to that ship. The day I arrived, the ship was about to leave the place. I said I needed to set sail with them, but the captain was not at all pleased. He replied, "Don't you dare try to come with us." When I heard that, I went back towards the hut where I was staying. I began to pray, and before I even finished the prayer, I heard one of them shout aloud to me, "Come quickly, those men are calling you." This is how I got to go with them, and we set sail right away. After 3 days, we made it to land in England, and then for 28 days, we walked through a wilderness. Food ran out, and great hunger came over us. The captain turned to me and said, "What about this, Christian? You tell us your God is great and all-powerful. Why can't you pray for us, since we're in a bad state of hunger? And there's no sign of a human being anywhere." Then I said to them with some confidence, "Turn in faith with all your hearts to the Lord my God, because nothing is impossible for him, so that he may put food in your way, even enough to make you fully satisfied." That's what I told them. And with the help of God, this is actually what happened. A herd of wild pigs appeared on our path before us. The men killed many of them, and there we remained for 2 nights, and we were fully restored. After this, they gave the greatest thanks to God, and I was honored in their eyes. From this day on, they had plenty of food. All through the journey, the Lord provided food and fire and shelter every day until we met some people. And on that very day, we ran out of food. Later, I was again with my parents in England. They welcomed me as a son. And they pleaded with me that after all the many tribulations I had undergone, they wished that I should never leave them again. But it was while I was there with them that I saw in a vision in the night a man coming from Ireland with so many letters they could not be counted. He gave me one of these, and I started reading the letter. I thought I heard at that moment the voice of those Irish people I'd lived among. They called out with one voice, "We beg you, holy boy, come and walk among us again." Well, this touched my heart deeply, and I could not read any further, and then I awoke. Thanks be to God. After many years, the Lord granted the Irish what they were calling for in my dream. I knew I must not hide the gift of salvation which God had generously given me in the land of my captivity. It was in Ireland that I looked for God with all my strength, and there I found him, and he protected me from all evils. He is the one who defended me in all my difficulties. I can say, "Who am I, Lord, and what is my calling that you have worked with me with such divine presence? However ignorant I am, he has heard me, so that in these days I could dare to undertake such a holy and wonderful work. In this way I can imitate somewhat those whom the Lord foretold would announce his gospel to all nations. This is what we see has been fulfilled. Look at us. We are witnesses that the gospel has been preached where there was nobody else to do it. From where did this wisdom come to me? A wisdom which was not in me. I didn't even know the number of my days, much less did I know God. Where did such a great and life-giving gift come from then, to know and love God even after leaving homeland and parents? So then, God guided me to return to Ireland, even against the wishes of my parents and some of my superiors in the church. I resisted them all so that I could come to the people of Ireland to preach the gospel. I bore insults from unbelievers here in Ireland, and their hatred directed at me for traveling here. I bore many persecutions, even chains, giving up my freedom for the sake of others. If I be worthy, I am ready even to give up my life most willingly here and now for his name. Here it is that I wish to spend my life until I die, if the Lord should grant it to me. I am greatly in debt to God. He gave me such great grace that through me many people should be born again in God and brought to full life. This is just what he promised in the past through his prophet. I have put you as a light to the nations, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. It is right that we should fish well and diligently, as the Lord directs and teaches when he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Therefore, it is very right that we should cast our nets so that a great multitude will be taken for God. This is what the Lord says in the gospel. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How has this happened in Ireland? Never before did they know of worship except to serve idols and unclean things. But now they've become the people of the Lord and are called children of God. So I want to give thanks to God without ceasing. He frequently forgave my lack of wisdom and my shortcomings. There were many who forbade this mission to Ireland. They even told stories among themselves behind my back and said, "Why does he put himself in danger among hostile people who do not know God?" Well, it was not that they were malicious. They just did not understand. As I myself can testify, since I was just an unlearned country person. Indeed, I was not quick to recognize the grace that was in me. You all know, and God knows, how I've lived since my youth in true faith and in sincerity of heart. Towards the pagan people, too, among whom I've lived, I have lived in good faith and will continue to do so. God knows that I've not been devious with even one of them. Nor do I think of doing so. For the sake of God and his church, I would not want to arouse persecution of them and of all of us. Nor would I want that the Lord's name should be blasphemed on account of me. For this reason, may God not let it happen that I suffer the loss of his people who have become his in the furthermost parts of the earth. I pray that God give me perseverance, and that he grant me to bear faithful witness to him right up to my passing from this life for the sake of my God. There is no doubt whatever that we will rise on the appointed day in the brightness of the glory of Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. We shall be children of the living God and co-heirs of Christ and fashioned in his image, and we will abide forever, just as Christ will abide forever. He lives with God the Father Almighty, and with the Holy Spirit before all ages began, and now, and for all ages to come. Amen. So ends Patrick's words. So what do we take from this? Well, many things. And among them are these three brief thoughts. If hardships and brutality of kidnapping and enslavement in a foreign land, instead of making Patrick bitter and turn his back on God, it had enabled him to experience the presence of God and know the depth of God's love for him. Should not our hardships draw us not away from God, but drive us into him? And if those bitter experiences, instead of making Patrick damaged and useless to God, they were the very thing that equipped him to serve God's glorious purpose in his own generation. Finally, if God can use an uneducated, untrained man with no doubt his share of PTSD, if God could use such a man to save a nation, well, can't we expect him to use us to save some people in our communities and families? Our God is the God of Patrick, and he's still saving the world with the most unlikely and humble servants of his. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.